Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is using SSL to connect to WebSphere application server with a WebSphere MQ queue manager. Today's presenters are Miguel Rodriguez and Anghyu Rivera. Miguel is a member of the WebSphere MQ support team for Unix and Windows platforms. He has experience with SSL, MQ clustering, and system integration bus from the WebSphere application server. Anghyu is a member of the WebSphere MQ support team for Unix and Windows platforms. He has experience with the JMS client of WebSphere MQ and WebSphere application server. At this point in time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Miguel and Anghyu.
Hello, MQ fans. Thank you very much for attending this presentation. My name is in Spanish is pronounced as Angel Rivera, but you can call me Angel Rivera. I work with the WebSphere MQ Level 2 support team for Unix, and I will be presenting the first portion of this presentation, how to establish a non-SSL connection between an MQ queue manager and the MQ JMS client running under WAS. And here is Miguel.
Hello, everyone. My name is Miguel, and I will be presenting configuration of SSL communications between the WebSphere application server and the MQ queue manager.
Next page, please. Slide 2, Agenda. The WebSphere MQ support team has assisted many customers with questions regarding the securing of the communications between a WebSphere application server, WAS for short, and an MQ queue manager by using the protocol Secure Sockets Layer, SSL. The focus of this presentation is to provide the steps and the commands that you need to configure the secured connection. It is not our intention for this presentation to provide the background and the explanation of what is SSL. Also, this document does not cover advanced features such as certificate revocation lists or online certificate status protocol, OCSP, etc. We want to begin this presentation by introducing the main players involved in the communication of messages between a WebSphere application server and an MQ queue manager. A simple scenario is illustrated using the default values for the different attributes. We will give you information based on the version 7 of WAS and of MQ. To keep the scenarios as simple as possible and to help you with your testing efforts, we show you how you can generate self-signed certificates. Of course, when you go into production, it is recommended that you get your certificates from a trusted authority. We will discuss only the platforms for Windows and for Unix, AIX, Linux, Solaris, HP, UX. It is recommended that you perform the task in two phases because it is easier to narrow down the scope of the problem determination task in case that there are problems. In phase one, connect WAS using a non-SSL connection with the MQ queue manager. A sample MDV is referenced that you can deploy and test. In phase two, once the MDV is able to receive messages successfully without using SSL, then you can configure the connection to add SSL. The documentation mentioned in the references section provide excellent background on what is SSL, but these resources do not offer a comprehensive step-by-step procedure that you can easily follow. Thus, the purpose of this presentation is to fill the gap between the theory of those references and the concrete steps that you need to take and their proper sequence and where you have to issue them. Next page, please. Presenting the players, slide 3. The next few slides are based on the webcast title, Using WebSphere MQ7 as JMS Provider for WebSphere Application Server Version 7, which I presented in September 2009 and which has a tech note number of 701-6505. We want to show you a simple example of the sequence of events done by the different players for delivering a message from an MQ queue manager version 7 to a message-driven bin MDV, which resides in WAS version 7. It is assumed that all necessary components are installed and properly configured. That is, we will not talk about the installation process or nor how to configure the JMS administrative objects. It is assumed that there is an unread message in the queue. And finally, we assume that in WAS there is a listener port or an activation specification that is active. Next page, please. Slide 4. Let's introduce the players. It is useful to have an analogy to make it a bit easier to understand. The WAS server can be considered to be a building that provides services to business tenants, which are enterprise Java beans or AGBs. The building provides the utility, security, management of resources, etc. The idea is for the AGBs to concentrate on their domain expertise, for example, a financial application, and to delegate those mundane tasks to the staff and resources from the building. The tenants, the AGBs, need to follow the standard described by the J2EE, Java 2 Platform Enterprise Edition. In that way, the tenant can use the proper plugs provided by the office space in the building. A message-driven bin, the MDB, is a specialized EGB that handles messages. Let's consider the next player. The MQQ Manager is another building that provides messaging services to WAS services and other users. It provides assured delivery of messages and delivers a message only once, not duplicates. Next page, please. Page 5. The Enterprise Java Bean, the EJB, occupies a floor in the WAS server building, and it is operational. The EJB has a specialized secretary that only receives and handles messages. This secretary is called a message-driven bean, or MDB. The messages are received via the method onMessage, and the MDB waits until it is contacted by the listener port or the activation specification. Next page, please. Slide 6. The WAS listener port, LP for short, or the activation specification, AS, reside in the mail room of the building. They deliver the messages from the mail room to the tenants. From now on, the generic LP listener port represents both LP and AS. The LP interacts with an MQ representative to get the messages. Note, the WAS listener port is not the same as an MQ listener. The MQ listener is a socket handler to allow MQ clients to communicate with the MQQ manager. Next page, please. Page 7. If SSL is enabled, then during the startup of the listener port or the activation specification is when the SSL handshake takes place with the MQ channel. Please consult the following page from the Information Center. The SSL handshake enables the SSL client, in this case the MQ client within WAS, and the SSL server, the MQQ manager, to establish the secret keys with which they will communicate. Next page, please. Page 8. The MQ representative is in the WAS building and is called the MQ JMS client, which also resides in the mail room. In WAS version 6, ships a set of 3 files. In WAS version 7, ships the MQ resource adapter, which is a collection of files. The MQ JMS client contacts the MQQ manager via a server connection channel. In case the SSL is enabled, then the whole package is encrypted. It means the message descriptor and the message contents. Next page, please. Page 9, let's visualize the channel as a single pneumatic tube which sends a capsule like the ones used in a drive-through bank tellers. On the left of the figure, we have the WAS server, which has a listener port or an activation specification. Either one of these players contacts the MQ JMS client, which resides also in the WAS server. The MQ JMS client puts a request into a capsule, and the capsule is sent to the MQQ manager in the right side of the picture. The queue manager opens the capsule and reads the request, such as get a message from QX. After getting the message from the queue manager puts the message into the capsule and sends it back. Next page, please. Page 10. Okay. Now, let me just tell you a little bit about slide 10. The basic scenario was the following in slide 10. The WAS listener port starts by talking to the NQJMS client, and it's asking, hey, do we have a message to deliver? The NQJMS client will pass that request to the MQQ manager. The queue manager will say, yes, we have a message, and sends the message to the listener port. Can we go to slide 11? Then, okay, and then now we are back in slide 11. And in slide 11, the MQ server puts the copy of the message in the capsule and sends it back to the NQJMS client. The NQJMS client receives the capsule, gets the message, and tells the listener port that there is a message. The listener port goes to the mailroom and gets the message, and then goes where the MDV resides and gives the message to the MDV. And the LP waits for the confirmation from the MDV to confirm if the delivery is successful. Page 12, please. The MDV opens the message and reads its contents. If everything is fine, then it handles the message and then tells the LP, hey, that everything is okay. The LP returns to the mailroom and tells the NQJMS client that the delivery was okay. In turn, the NQJMS client tells the NQ server that the delivery was okay. And finally, the NQ server receiving that says, oh, okay, then I will destroy the copy that I had just in case there were some problems and things needed to back out. Page 13, please. In page 13, we recommend that you start with a non-SSL connection as a baseline, and then you can add the SSL configuration. We do not recommend that you try to take all the steps at once if you are a novice, because there are many steps, and there will be too many variables. Then in case you have a problem, it will be difficult to really narrow down, and it could be the problem, and it could be very frustrating for you. Then we recommend two phases. The first phase is you start with a non-SSL connection, and once you have the MDV that is properly working, then add the SSL. Then in the next few slides, we'll just talk about the non-SSL. One of the things that we found is that if you are testing, if you are a novice or intermediate user, if you want to deploy a testing MDV, there are a few samples out there that really provide you just the basics. And for that reason, we generated a sample MDV that we packaged together into a technical document, and that you can download, you can deploy it, and you can do basic testing. It is a fully functional MDV. It is short, to the point. And in this slide, we show you that the tech doc is 701-6505, and you can download the sample MDV. Next page, please. Page 14. For the non-SSL test, we use the following default server connection channel in the queue manager, system.dev for default.serverconf. We don't touch it. We just use it as it is. Then in WAS, we define GMS administration objects, such as a connection factory, destination, activation specifications. The connection factory and the activation specification will use the channel system.serverconf, as shown at the bottom of the page. And next page, please. Slide 15. Once the MDV called sample MDV EJV EAR is deployed in WAS, then you can open two windows. In one, you can use the MQ sample MQS put to put a message into the queue. For example, that will say testing in uppercase. Then in the other window, you can monitor the lines that are added at the end of the system out.log in WAS. The on message of this sample MDV displays the type of contents, the payload of the received message, and displays an iCatcher string, which is plus, 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 space, sample, space, MDV, which can let you find quickly the output of the MDV in the system out.log. Then, if the input for the test, the message is testing, then the following line shown here at the bottom of the slide, plus, 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 sample MDV, column, text message, and then the testing, the payload. By doing that, then you will know that you are able to receive messages from MQ using non-SSL connection. Now, at this time, I would like to ask Miguel to teach us how to do the necessary steps in WAS and in MQ to use SSL.
Hello, everyone. Angel and I prepared a tech doc with detailed steps in configuring the SSL connection between WAS version 7 and MQ version 7. If you would please go to page 16. Here on this slide, you're able to see where you can actually view and download this tech doc. The WSDI that we have prepared is basically a general overview with some specifics, but if you really want a detailed account, step-by-step instructions, the tech doc is your best bet. Next page, please. Okay, page 17. In terms of using SSL, the application initiating the connection will be referred to as the SSL client, while the recipient of this connection is referred to as the SSL server. In our case, the MDD configured to use the activation specification is the SSL client, and the queue manager on the MQ server will be the SSL server. Upon the initiation of the SSL handshake, both the SSL client and the server must agree on the cipher specification, that is, the encryption type and level. Next page, please. Page 18. On page 18, we discuss certificates. Certificates are required to authenticate the parties. In our example, the SSL client will authenticate the SSL server, and the SSL server will authenticate the SSL client. Authentication of both parties is the standard. However, MQ provides the option of one-way authentication, that is, only the SSL client authenticates the SSL server. Abiding by this standard, the SSL client and the SSL server will contain a personal certificate and the signer certificates needed for authentication. In our example, we have created self-signed certificates. As mentioned previously by Angel, we do not recommend using self-signed certificates for production environments, nor for environments where a strong level of security is required. A key store, a trust store for Java JMS applications are required as the repository for the certificates. Normally, the key store and or trust store are of the type JKS, short for Java Key Store. The required repository for the queue manager is called a key database, and this key database must be of the type CMS. Both WAS and MQ products come with a tool called Global Security Kit, which is normally referred to as GSKit. GSKit comes with a graphical user interface called iKeyman, but also comes with a command line version called GSK7CMD and another command line version called GSK7CAPICMD. If you wanted to create keys via the command line that are 2048 in size, then please use the GSK7CAPICMD command. You can also do this through the GUI, by the way. In order to enable SSL, both the WAS activation specification and the key manager channel require modifications. Page 19, please. Okay. For the queue manager, we will define a new server connection channel called WAS_servercon. To enable SSL, we need to configure a cipher specification for the SSL cipher attribute of the channel. In our example, we chose a strong encryption called TDES-SHA-US. In order for MQ to participate in two-way authentication, the client authentication specified by the SSL CAUTH attribute, as shown on the slide, must be set to required. Please note that the default SSL CAUTH attribute value is required. So you will need to change that to optional if you only want one-way authentication, that is the SSL client authenticating the SSL server. Page 20, please. Please log on or switch users to MQM. Of course, this is for Unix or Linux environment, so that the key database files will have the proper owner and group. This is not necessary when you use Windows. In addition, please make sure that you export the environment variable Java Home to the appropriate path for MQ so that the proper libraries can be picked up to enable the GSKit tool to create a CMS-type database. The values for Java_Home are dependent on the operating system in which MQ installed, and can be found in our tech doc referenced on slide 15. Thank you. Next page, please. Page 21. After creating the key manager, QM_MDB, and its channel called WAS ServerCon, the next step is to create the key database as shown on this slide. As mentioned previously, GSKit provides a GUI version of the tool, but we chose to use the command line version of the tool, GSK7CMD, to familiarize you with its syntax. If you're using Windows, the equivalent command for GSK7CMD is called runmqckm. Next slide, please. Slide 22. In our example, we will generate two self-signed certificates. A self-signed certificate contains both the public and private keys. A certificate containing the private key is called a personal certificate. A personal certificate for a queue manager must be labeled with a format of IBM WebSphere MQ queue manager name. This label must be written in lowercase, including the queue manager name, as shown in this slide. Next page, please. Page 23. In slide 19, we created a key database for the queue manager. Now we're ready to generate a certificate. Please note that the label of the self-signed certificate follows the format required for personal certificates associated with a queue manager. In the command, the DN stands for distinguished name. The values for these options should be unique to your organization and environment. The second command allows you to view all certificates contained in the key database. Next slide, please. Page 24. In order for the authentication to take place, a signer certificate containing the public key must be provided to the trusted parties. Since we have generated self-signed certificates, we must extract the signer certificate into a file. In our example, we decided to extract the certificate into the directory that contains the key database files for the queue manager. And that's the path that you see here on this slide. Next slide, please. FTP or copy the MQ signer certificate to the server that hosts your WebSphere application server. The certificate is in an ASCII format, so there is no need to FTP the file in binary. In our example, we chose to place the MQ signer certificate into the directory that contains the WAS key store and trust store. Next page, please. Page 26. For authentication, the signer certificate for the MQ personal certificate must be added to the WAS trust store. In the same way, the signer certificate for the WAS personal certificate must be added to the queue manager's key database. Next slide, please. Slide 27. For Java JMS applications, two certificate stores are required: a trust store that contains the signer certificates and a key store that contains self-signed personal certificates. That's for our example. You can use the GSKit tools to create the stores and, of course, the certificates. Next slide, please. Slide 28. For Java JMS applications, the type of stores can either be a .jks or a .p12. We have decided to go ahead and use the Java key stores, as you can see here. The full path that's used in our test is below. It's basically where we kept our node information for the WAS application server. Next slide, please. Generate a self-signed certificate for the WAS server. The certificate can be labeled with the name of your choosing, so there are no restrictions. And there we have the example using GSK7CMD to do this. Once again, I point you to the distinguished name values. Please use unique names, if you will, or unique values for these different options. Next slide, please. The next step is, after we have generated the self-signed personal certificates, is that we must extract the signer certificates into a file. We do this so that we can send the signer certificates to either the SSL client or the SSL server. In this case, we actually will be trading certificates, if you will, signer certificates. Next slide, please. Slide 31. All right. Slide 31, we are creating a trust store of course, type JKS, and we've named it WAS Trust Store for easy identification. The next slide, please. Now we want to add the WAS signer certificate into the WAS Trust Store on page 30. That was the same one that we generated then. And we add it to the WAS Trust Store as shown by the GSK7 CMD command. If there was a mistake or something was not correct, you can remove the certificate by using the minus cert minus delete options for the GSK7 CMD command. Please note that adding the signer certificate to the WAS Trust Store is important because it preserves the certificate chain. This requirement is not necessary for key databases that have a self-signed certificate of key managers. Next slide, please. Add the MQ signer certificate that was copied to the WAS server previously to the WAS Trust Store. And there you see the GSK7 add command. Next page, please. FTP the WAS signer certificate to the MQ server. In our example, once again, we place the certificates in the same directory that we actually have the key database file. Next page, please. At this point, just in summary, we've done this. On the MQ server side, we created the key database and the self-signed personal certificate. We have extracted the signer certificate from the MQ self-signed certificate and added the WAS signer certificate into the key manager key database. We sent the MQ signer certificate to the WAS side. On the WAS server side, we created a key store and a trust store. We generated a self-signed certificate in the key store, extracted the WAS signer certificate, and added both the WAS signer certificate and the MQ Queue Manager signer certificate into the WAS Trust Store. Now we're ready to configure WAS. Using the WAS admin console, on the left side of the first window, open Security and select the SSL Certificate and Key Management. In the Certificate and Key Management window, under Related Items, select Key Stores and Certificates. Next page, please. Okay. On page 36 was a screenshot of the SSL certificate and key management window. Next page, please. We need to configure the SSL certificate stores. This does not mean that we need to recreate them. We have already created them. Now what we need to do is create references to the key store and to the trust store. All right. The values that are necessary for both the key store and the trust store are the name, whatever your new key store name is, and we decided to call it new key store, the management scope, whether it's a cell, node, or the server, the path of where the key store actually is, and the type of key store that it is. Next page, please. Okay, here on page 38, this is what it looks like in the WAS admin console. As you can see, the name of the key store and also the management scope, as well as the path of where this key store is. Notice that a password is necessary, and also the type of key store. The type should be JKS, not PKCS12. Sorry about that. Next slide, please. Now we want to go back to Open Security, select the SSL certificate and key management once again, and under related items, this time select SSL configurations. Next page, please. Click the New button and fill out the following fields. The first is the name of this configuration. We're creating a brand new configuration. I suggest that you go ahead and actually do this as opposed to using the default configuration, because it will be a whole lot easier for you to isolate problems, and it will be a whole lot easier for you to manage this certificate and this connection from Westfor Application Server and the Westfor MQ Queue Manager. So the name that we called it is new node SSL config. The trust store name would be new trust store. Key store name is new key store. And the management scope is actually node at the node level. Please note that the trust store name, the key store name, and the management scope are all selected from a pull-down menu. One of the gotchas is that if you do not create a key store or a trust store, when you come to this step to do the SSL configuration, you will not be able to select what your key store is or what your trust store is. So please be mindful of that. Next page, please. Click on the name of the new SSL configuration. Now, the reason we ask you to do this is because when you first create your SSL configuration with its proper name and so on, it does not allow you to modify the quality of protection. So therefore, once it's saved, go back into it and reopen your new SSL configuration. When you've opened your new SSL configuration, on the right-hand side, you'll see additional properties, and underneath that, select quality of protection settings. Next page, please. Under client authentication, you have the options of selecting none, supported, required. But per the security requirements, and I would say per the standard, we recommend that you choose required. And basically, again, that what that means is two-way authentication where both the SSL client and the SSL server have personal certificates and have traded their signer certificates. In the Cipher Suite settings under Cipher Suite groups, select the strength of encryption from the drop-down menu and click on the Update Selected Ciphers button. The Cipher Suite families will be populated under Selected Ciphers. Next page, please. Page 43. This is very important. Please note, you can only use one Cipher Suite in the SSL configuration for Westfor MQ Messaging Provider Connection Factory or Activation Specification. If you specify more than one Cipher Suite, only the first one is used. The MQ channel was configured with a strong encryption, triple dead SHA. Thus, we chose the strong Cipher Suite groups, kept the matching Cipher Suite called SSL underscore RSA underscore with underscore 3DES underscore EDE underscore CBC underscore SHA, because that is the equivalent to the triple dead SHA configured with on the WAS ServerCon channel earlier. And we removed all others. Next page, please. And here we have a screenshot. And what I'd like to point you to is really toward the bottom of this graphic. Down at the right-hand side, notice that Selected Ciphers only has one cipher specification. This is why it's so important to create your own SSL configuration. There are certain limitations as far as Westfor Application Server, as far as Westfor MQ is concerned, and this helps us once again to configure the connection appropriately and minimize the opportunities for an error. Next page, please. Okay. Page 45, WASD JMS AXPEC SSL configuration. Open resources. This is in the WASD admin console when you first open it. On the left-hand side, you'll have resources. Select JMS, and then select activation specifications. Please click on the your activation specification. For our example, we have the sample MDB queue activation spec. In the activation specification, you will need to specify the server connection channel that was defined earlier, which is enabled for SSL, WASD underscore servercon. Notice that the name of the server connection channel used previously was system.def.servercon, but we did not configure this for SSL. Also, please note that if you are using a listener port instead of an activation specification, you will need to configure the following in the connection factory. Next page, please. Okay. Now here in page 46, we see a screenshot of it, and we can see what the channel is. We can also see how we enabled SSL secure communications between WASD and MQ by checking the checkbox. Also, because we have a specific configuration, we, from a drop-down menu, can choose the new SSL configuration. Next page, please. At this point, I highly recommend that you stop and restart the WASD server so that all modifications will take effect. Of course, with each step, change, modification, if you will, previously, that configuration would have needed to be saved, but WASD prompts you for that. Once the WebSphere application server has been restarted, start your application and verify that the application is in a started status. Now, such as we did earlier, we're going to repeat the testing of the sample MDB for the original non-SSL scenario. Next page, please. Page 48. On page 48, we go back to the MQ server, and we're going to use the utility called AMQSPut to put a message to the target queue. This is the queue that the activation specification or listener port is listening to obtain a message. Type in whatever message you would like to send over. If you will, we decided to make it testing message with SSL connection, but you can, whatever message you want to, it would be fine. And then hit the enter button twice to complete the message and transmission of this message. Next page, please. We're on page 49. Okay. Please view the last entries of the system outlog on your WASD server to verify that the message was retrieved successfully. As a reminder, remember that complete details in setting up the SSL communication between WASD and MQ can be found in the tech doc referenced on page 15 of this presentation. Angel will now inform you of support packs that can help you configure and or troubleshoot SSL configurations for clients and servers.
Thank you, Miguel. You did a very good job. Now let's go to slide 50, please. Now let's talk about troubleshooting tasks. You need to keep in mind that the SSL server is very paranoid, okay? And it will not give useful information to the SSL client whenever there are problems. The SSL server assumes that a hacker is trying to assault the server, and thus it will give very little information. It will provide overly generic messages. Let me give you a specific example of what happened to me. I wanted to establish a connection between a standalone JMS client in Windows, not using WASD, to talk with this via SSL with a queue manager in Linux. When I ran the JMS application, I got reason code 2397. Well, what is this 2397? I issue the MQ command, MQRC, that shows the name associated with the return code, and I got MQRC underscore JSSE underscore error. Well, I consulted the MQ Information Center, and I got a very generic information. Programmer response. Inspect the causal exception to determine the JSSE error. That's it. Well, what should I do? Then in the client, the general MQ error logs did not show any new messages. In the server, the general MQ error logs did not show new messages either. However, the MQ error log showed MQ9660, SSL key repository, password stash file, absent or unusual. Well, this message had a long explanation for what might be wrong. And I consulted the following support pack, MH03 WebSphere MQ SSL Configuration Checker. The executable provided by this support pack, MQSSLCHCheck, like SSL check, will examine the SSL configuration settings for a queue manager and optionally for a client as well, and report on any issues that it finds. In my particular scenario, I ran the program, and it told me that the ownership of the key store files was incorrect. I had logged in on my Linux bus as user Rivera, which is a member of the MQM group, and therefore I am an MQ administrator. I performed the GS key task to create a key store with the user ID, and the resulting SSL files had an ownership of Rivera and belonging to the group MQM. However, at runtime, the GS key code checks that the MQM user ID must be the owner of these files. Thus, I decided, after knowing the MH03 support pack told me, hey, you have these problems with the files. They have the wrong ownership. Then I decided to delete those files and log out and log in as MQM, and then I performed all the JSKIP tasks again, and this time I did not have any problems. Without that support pack, it will be very difficult for me to find out the root cause. Let me give you another scenario. The support pack helped me to identify the SSL key R attribute used in the server connection channel was incorrect. Indeed, I had included the full path name of the KDB file, including the suffix of KDB. The expected value is the full path name minus the suffix, because the code will add the suffix KDB at runtime. Thus, if you include the full path, which includes the suffix KDB, then the actual file name that is used at runtime will have the complete full path plus KDB plus .KDB, which is incorrect, okay? Then that's the reason this support pack could be very helpful. Let's go to the next page, please. Page 51. This is another support pack that is really good. M, uppercase O, letter O, number 0, number 4, WebSphere NQ SSL Wizard. It is a Java-based GUI that walks you through an interview process to collect the requirements for connecting two queue managers or a client and a queue manager over SSL-enabled channels. And you enter the information, what is the host name in page 1 and so on, then go to the next page and you just provide what are the commands you want to use, what are the things that you need to do, etc. For example, for client, it is asking you if it's a Java JMS client or a C-based client. And once the details for both sides of the SSL connection are collected, the SSL wizard generates a very comprehensive process, including both narrative description and the necessary commands to perform and where to perform them. Then you just need to copy each command and execute. I found it very useful because sometimes for a novice user, it is not clear from the manuals where do you have to issue a specific command. This support pack will tell you at the client host, issue this command, at the server host, issue this other command. Very nice. Let's go to page number 52, please. References. As mentioned earlier, you can use the sample NDB provided with the technical doc 7016505, and then you can use also the companion technical doc that we wrote for this webcast presentation, using SSL to connect to WebSphere application server with a WebSphere NQ queue manager. We highly recommend it because it includes all the snapshots, all the commands, and more explanation, and so on. There is a limited amount of real estate that we can use during the webcast, and that's the reason that, for example, we can show only a few of the snapshots of the administration console, but in this technical document, we included all the snapshots. Let's go to page 53, please. More references. We include here a link for the NQ version 7 Information Center. And there we include also a link for the SSL cipher specs and cipher suites. Do you remember that Miguel stress very much that we need to have in one of the screens from the WAS admin console one single cipher suite. And the mapping between what we use in the MQ server channel and what we need to use in the WAS administration console is mentioned in the link in this page. And the last link in the page is the Information Center for WAS version 7. Let's go to the next page, please. Page 54. This chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. You can visit the page site to learn more about upcoming events, webcasts, like the one you attended today, and access previously recorded presentations. You can access DeveloperWorks, which offers in-depth technical information. You can visit WebSphere.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up the learning curve quickly. The SR tool is from Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. And the My Notifications link of all product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you. Now, we would like to pass the control back to Joseph.
Thank you, Miguel and Angel, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the lines for questions.
Ed Jankowskis, your line is open.
Hi, this is a good presentation, but we're using Message Broker, which obviously sits on top of MQ. And with Message Broker, we're trying to secure the channels between the WAS proxy servlets that you can get with Message Broker and the broker itself. The presentation was geared towards message-driven beans. I'm wondering if there's if it still applies to securing the channel between the proxy servlet and the broker, or if there's any specific insert tips specific to securing the proxy servlet.
This is Miguel. Both Angel and I, we do not support the broker. Therefore, we don't know all of the specifics for the proxy servlets. From a WAS point of view, yes, we dealt with activation specification and the or message driven bean or listener port, but you also can configure the connection factory. So really, depending on how it's, these proxy servlets are configured to be used within a WAS environment, it would determine what needs to be done. If you would like, there's my email address at the beginning of this presentation. Please send me an email with your questions, and I'll do my best to get back to you and provide you with the information you're requesting.
Okay, thank you. I'm hoping we can get a copy of the presentation also.
Yes, this presentation, the WISTI itself, should be available for you to download or the webcast. But if you want the specifics, as we have basically created this technical document, the tech doc, those would give you all the specifics that you would be looking for. So the WISTI would be good, but we definitely recommend that you download the tech doc. Do you have you don't have a PDF version of this WISTI?
No, all the links are in the presentation, so it would be helpful to have the presentation so I can get everything I need.
Sure. If you would, just to make sure that you get it, would you please email me at mrod@us.ibm.com, and then I can send you that information, and that way you know for certain that you're going to receive it.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Alan from the Bank of Montreal. Your line is open.
Thank you so much for the excellent presentation. May I have three questions here? I'll try to save time anyway. So the first question, I see this presented as samples as a MQ server to the WAS as a client. So I'm not sure from MQ server to the WAS kind of client, it's the messaging is sent to exactly which like components on the WAS side. I just want to know some background of the sample.
Actually, the SSL client or the client is the WebSphere application server,
mm-hmm.
either EJB or MDB, and the SSL server is the queue manager on MQ.
Yeah,
so messages are sent from WAS to MQ
from
or retrieved
WAS.
From WAS
from
MQ.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's different direction. Okay, thank you.
Yes.
So next question is on the page 21st, I see the command to create the SSL key DB, right? There's a parameter as for the expiry, so 1 year, 365 days. So that expiration days is for the password to access the key DB. Is that correct? Not for the SSL certificate.
Yes, that is correct. The password is for the, the expiration is for the password for the key database.
But in the real case, normally what I did, I always put non-expired. Because I don't know if I put the expired date there, when we exactly hit that date after 1 year, what's going to happen for the password and how can I update that?
Well,
you will generate some alert from system, or once we try to log in, you will ask to update the password?
You are correct. The expiration there is just for additional protection for you. A year is basically a standard that is used, and people can go ahead and set that to expire after a certain year, so that way, at least on a yearly basis, your password is refreshed.
Okay.
But if you prefer not to be concerned about the expiration, yes, you can set it where the password will never be expired.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Another case is in my real situation, what I did for the it's MQ from Unix, which actually is AX to the mainframe MQ, the SSL or connection channel between two MQ managers on each side. So what we did is kind of called mutual authentication. I'm not sure, like compared to that mutual authentication, how do you, like, what's your preference in real situation? You mostly for MQ to MQ SSL channel is mostly using mutual authentication, or in this case from MQ to WAS, you recommend to use a server client kind of authentication?
Hello. The standard is two-way or mutual authentication, and in this presentation we were actually configuring the environment for mutual authentication. That's set, at least from the MQ point of view, by the option of required for the SSL CAuth attribute of the channel. I believe that on the mainframe it actually says client authentication. But yes, the standard is mutual. Now, we do give you the option, if it's a situation where security is not of the utmost because it's within your intranet, we do give you the option to set that to optional, and the SSL client, that's the one initiating the connection, the sender, okay, will authenticate the SSL server, being the receiver.
Okay. So most of the cases, we better use the mutual authentication. It's easy for the configuration, also is more secure. Is that the case?
That's correct. Mutual authentication is more secure, and it is the standard.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
And then last question. So for the performance concern, I try to understand, for SSL, this kind of authentication for the SSL channel, once the channel is set up, when the MQ triggers the message to be sent, the SSL handshake or whatever, the decryption will happen at the beginning of the channel start, not during all the messaging transmission. Because the concern is if it's during the message transmission, it's still doing the encrypted decryption, so that will be impact on the performance of transmission. So I want to understand this SSL authentication is no impact, which is should be at the beginning of the channel start.
Yes, that is correct. The SSL handshake does occur at the beginning of the connection. However, with version 7 of MQ, you're actually enabled to renegotiate that SSL Handshake. This was added to give you yet more security. And in other words, because you're renegotiating this SSL Handshake and encryption and so on, this is actually designated by a certain attribute at the queue manager level.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I don't remember right offhand what that attribute is. In other words, what it's called. But if you would like to send me an email to mrod@us.ibm.com, I'll let you know.
Okay, thank you. So that being said, that's kind of additional feature for this renegotiation. So, but in that way, it will be some impact on the transmission performance.
Yes, it'll be. I mean, depending on how often you do this, and that interval. This is something that is configurable. But yes, if you're constantly doing it, yes, you're going to have a performance hit, a negative impact. But if you just do it periodically, it's really something that is not going to affect performance as a whole.
Okay. Yeah, it depends on the... But anyway, in the real case, we'll do any, like, a QA or UAT test before the production.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So may I have one more question, just one more. So regarding the GUI interface, so from my experience, for most production environment, we don't recommend GUI interface because the most GUI interface will have a kind of a security hole on that. So what's your recommendation for that? So we better use the command line or still use the GUI interface for this SSL configuration? But maybe it's out of scope of this presentation.
Just basically, it's really up to yourself and your requirements. We provide the GUI because it's, I guess, really easy to be able to create key databases or key stores, trust stores, and and all the certificate management and so on. It's very easy to use. But no, you're not required to use it. And as such, that's why we do have the GSK or GSKit commands, GSK7CMD, and the other one, GSK7CAPI-CMD, for your use.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. For London.
You're welcome.
So while we wait for the next question to come up, I have a couple of questions through the group chat, and I am going to announce them verbally to our speakers today. The first question is, do we have options to implement the SSL secure channel communication for the cluster sender and receiver channels? And do we have options to use the SSL MQ server connection channel in COBOL program?
Okay, so the first question is whether or not you can enable SSL communications using cluster channels between queue managers, MQ cluster channels?
For the cluster sender and receiver channels.
Yes, you can configure the SSL cluster senders and receivers with SSL. And I believe that we do have either a technook or a document that goes over how to do that. If whoever is asking would please send me an email to mrod@us.ibm.com. And please, in the subject line, put WISTI question or something like that so I won't miss it. And if you do that, then I will look for that document and provide it to you. As far as COBOL, I'm not entirely sure. That would be something probably that I would have to discuss with my colleagues that support MQ on the mainframe, because more often than not, questions having to do with COBOL have to do with applications that are actually residing on the mainframe environment. Once again, if you want information on this, please just send me an email, and I'll do what I can to be able to get that information to you.
Thank you, Miguel. And Jackie, do we have any questions on the phone?
No, we don't.
Okay, so we have, I think, a couple more in the group chat, so I will announce them right now. The next question is, do we have any sample utilities with the WebCMQ client to test SSL connectivity over a SSL-enabled channel?
Yes, this is Angel, and I wanted just to let you know that the M uppercase O number 0, number 4 support pack, the SSL Wizard, includes two samples. One is in Java and the other is in C, that you can actually run and just to verify that you are able to communicate through SSL with an NQ Queue Manager. Then I will recommend strongly that SSL Wizard for two things. Again, one is to generate the list of all the commands that you need to do, and the second is once actually part of the list of commands that is generated at the end is run these commands. And these are the commands that are from the samples that are provided with this SSL Wizard. Okay? I hope that I answered your question. Do you have another question?
Thank you, Angel. I think we have two last questions here. The first question is it true that I need two certificates authorized by a CA, one for WASP and MQ server in a production environment?
As we had mentioned previously, the standard is mutual or two-way authentication. You do not have to do this with a WASP MQ configuration. You can just basically implement one-way authentication, which means that you create a certificate request, let's say for the MQ server, you send it to your certificate authority. They provide you with a signed certificate request, which when received into the key database becomes your personal certificate. In addition, the certificate authority will also provide you with the signer certificates, and often these are a root certificate and intermediate certificate as well. Okay. The signer certificates, that is, the root certificate and the intermediate certificate, need to be sent to the WASP server, and both of these certificates would need to be placed in the WASP trust store. If client authentication is not required, then in your SSL configuration, you do not check client authentication. On the MQ server side, the whatever server connection channel you're using, make sure that the SSL CAUTH parameter for the channel is set to optional. And then in that case, you are set up for one-way authentication where the WASP client will authenticate the WASP server. But once again, if this is production environment, we would say or recommend that you use two-way authentication because it is more secure.
Thank you, Miguel. And we will take our last question for the day. And the question is, will all applications deployed under WASP be forced to use a single certificate for SSL authentication?
No, and I'm glad you brought that up. The whole reason why we went into the SSL configuration and we created key stores and all that is to isolate this one connection from this WASP JMS client that connects to the MQ server. Therefore, whatever you do between WASP, as that is one WASP server and another server, these will be handled by the defaults if it was configured that way. But because we have our own SSL configuration and our own SSL key store trust stores, it's isolated.
Thanks again, Miguel.
You're welcome.
And so at this point in time, we will conclude the presentation.